And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good. Been doing some transcribing this morning.
One of the most fun things
to do in the world.
You're a dedicated man who never sleeps.
Well, I go to bed early. I didn't watch any of this horrific. Well, I watched maybe about seven plays of this horrific Monday night game.
That's seven plays too many of the Chicago Bears offense, my friend.
How are they 5-2?
That's a great question. I got news for you, though. That story's about to end.
Yeah.
They're in trouble.
Do they go back to Trubisky at some point? Like, does it get that bad? I guess at some point it's like you've already admitted you blew it with Trubisky. Now you know Foles can't play.
Maybe they'll draft Jarrett Garantano.
There you go. I think it'll be different people drafting him.
You think so?
Well, I mean,
you want to call your shot?
I don't know. Ryan Pace, you would think, would be in a little bit of trouble right now, right?
You would think so.
Man, those Bears fans. It really breaks my heart to think of Bears fans watching Patrick Mahomes over the next decade. It really does. Really,
it doesn't break mine at all.
It's tough,
man. I think it's hilarious.
As you sit there in your Packers hat.
Yep, it's really funny to me.
No, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. But, you know, what a waste of, like, a player like Khalil Mack, you know? I mean, still a great defensive team, but.
Hey, they still have the double doink.
Yeah.
They do. They have the double
doink. It's like every Bears broadcast, they brought it up early on the broadcast last night where they showed, maybe it was the pregame show on Monday Night Countdown, where they showed the quadruple doink in the MTSU game. And then they compared it to the double doink. Bears fans just can't get away from the double doink.
Well, by the way, the quadruple doink, I hope that was like number one play somewhere, right? I've never seen three.
No, the quadruple is it's new ground. It's new territory in the world of football.
It's got to be number one on the not top 10 because he missed it.
Well, I called it the true blue force field.
List.
You don't mess with MTSU. The force field went up. It was like an episode of Star Wars. You're not getting past this point.
Yeah.
This ain't gonna happen.
It was like that was like the like Happy Gilmore shot at the end, you know, like off the like the subway or whatever.
Spoiler alert.
The thing. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
For people who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's only been out 30 years.
Check out that movie. I highly recommend it.
One of the few that I've seen.
Yeah. Porth's seen like seven movies in the history of the planet.
Oh,
that's one of them.
Oh, one of those guys who doesn't watch movies. Okay. Yeah. I know people like that. We're watching sports and you don't have time to watch movies. Is that sort of the idea?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
I find time for both, but yeah, I get it. So have you seen The Godfather?
Nope.
Gosh.
So, yeah, I hadn't seen Forrest Gump until like I set him down and made him watch it.
Ooh, man, that's tough.
True story.
And what did you think? Were you happy you watched the movie?
It was good.
Yeah.
It wasn't this.
Doesn't that sound like very
unbelievable
disrespectful
film
in tone?
A little bit.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
It was all right.
Yeah, that was good. There's nothing like Wedding Crashers.
Oh, my God. Did you just compare Wedding Crashers and Forrest Gump?
Yes, I did.
Did you see the movie that should have won Best Picture in 1994 instead of Forrest Gump?
What is that?
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Seen that one?
No.
Okay. All right. Got a lot of work to do.
Pulp Fiction's good. But look.
Maybe being around you two guys.
You don't want to be around
now
this.
Rub off on me in terms of movies, and I'll start watching movies that I've never seen.
You don't want to know this list that he's –
it's a long list on my phone.
It's a long thing.
Dazed and Confused?
Nope.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a long
list. You got to get right on that. That's the only good Ben Affleck performance in the history of cinema, so, you know, you should enjoy it. That's why my fantasy team is named Fred O'Banion, just because that's the only good character he's ever played. Yeah.
Well, at least you're giving a shout-out to Ben Affleck of some kind.
Well, it's an incredible performance. I mean, I'd give him an Academy Award every year for that performance.
Would you?
And if he would never do another movie.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a stipulation to it. That's good.
Yeah, please don't work again, Ben.
Joe, you were on the Zoom call yesterday with Mike Vrabel. And look, just for starters, I set the over-under at 4.5 yesterday of Coach Better, Play Better. He blew by that, by the way.
He did?
Oh, yeah. Some version of Coach Better,
Play
Better.
I forgot to start counting.
It was probably in the 30s.
All right, I'm going to look at this. Really?
I mean,
so you're saying
some version
okay,
of
some
coach
version. Of
well, you know, got to coach better. Got to execute better. Like, I count that as coach better play
yeah,
better.
Yeah, okay. I didn't realize we were counting every – because, I mean, I think if you go with everything he says that's like that, But that specific phrase, he likes that
he
specific
does.
Phrase a lot. All right, I'm going to go through. I mean, I've got the transcript right here. So
You going to read the whole thing?
No, but by the end of the show, I'll have the official count.
Okay, good.
But yes, there was a lot of that kind of stuff, which is no surprise.
No, what were your biggest takeaway maybe from Vrabel yesterday?
I mean, you know, I'm trying to remember anything where I was like, wow. You know, he talked about coaching the action and not the result.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah.
You can put that one on a T-shirt.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of, you know, defensive play calling. Actually, I think it was Jared who asked him a pretty good question. And it's hard for me to say that because,
yeah,
like, whenever I ask a question, Jared usually, like, aggressively texts me to make fun of my question. But Jared asked a pretty good question about the adjustments, you know, in the second half, because obviously they played better. And Vrabel said, basically, like,
well, we have what Vrabel said here, Joe.
No,
I'll stop you. I won't even let you say
it.
We'll let Mike Vrabel say it. Here's what
Mike Vrabel
had to say on Jared's question yesterday.
Yeah, Mike, when you look at the first half on defense and then you watch the tape and you analyze the play calling, what did you think about the play calling in the first half? And what did you think maybe adjustments that Shane and you made going into the second half?
I didn't see much of a difference. You know, I think that, you know, to the previous question about the pressure, you know, there's a pressure that we called versus a run that went for 30 yards in the first half, made an adjustment, talked to the players about what we needed to do differently in the execution. And then they ran the same exact run against the same exact pressure. And we made a stop for no gain. So, you know, I don't think that there was much difference. You know, there was a lot of the similar calls. Maybe we made some adjustments on the sidelines that we talked through and said, hey, this is what we should be doing now. But as far as an overall, you know, I don't think that changed a whole lot.
So there you go for Mike Vrabel there. Didn't think the play calling changed a ton from the first half to the second half on Sunday against Pittsburgh. Just execute a little bit better.
See, it's funny, that question too is like, that you and Shane did, you know?
Yeah.
Which is I guess that's what happens when you don't name a defensive coordinator. Normally you just be like, you know, Shane's adjustments. But it's I mean, and Jared's right to ask it that way because that's the way that they've set things up.
Yep.
One thing that was asked that honestly I hadn't thought of from the game, our buddy Steve Lehman asked about the conservative play calling on the final drive of the game. I never thought of it in those terms. And Vrabel was like, why don't you take me through the plays that you didn't like?
He did that a few times yesterday.
He did. Yeah. Talk me through the mistakes or whatever. I never thought of it as conservative, but I do find it interesting that, and this has been asked a few times this year, like the screen game with Henry this year, clearly this is one thing that other teams have said, we're not going to let them do that to us this year, and it's not working. Now the little swing pass, I still like the idea of get Derrick Henry with one guy out there, which is what they did, and he made a tackle. Now, against Houston, the guy didn't make the tackle, and he went for 53 yards. So I don't have a problem with any of those play calls. It was just interesting that question came up. I hadn't even thought of it in those terms. I would go the other way and say too aggressive on the throw to Davis.
Which a lot of people said.
Yeah. But, hey, everything's going to get second-guessed and questioned. Of course, Vrabel shut me down real quick on Clowney. You know, just basically, like, how's he playing? We'll save the evaluations for the entire coaching staff and the players for the end of the season. So there will be no evaluations.
No evaluating in this business. He also was asked about Adoree' Jackson, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Adoree' practiced all week last week, so you thought maybe heading into Sunday there was a good chance that he could play. He did not. Vrabel was asked about that yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Hey, Mike, after Adoree' practiced all week last week, how close was he to playing yesterday? And, you know, I know it's only Monday, but are you optimistic about his chances about potentially playing this weekend?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, you know, too close or too far away, Eric. I think that it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't there. And so, you know, hopefully the extra week will give him an advantage to be able to be with us. We'll see how that goes throughout the week, you know, as where it looks like when we practice on Wednesday.
So it sounds like Adoree Jackson wasn't quite where the Titans thought he needed to be. Hopefully this next week takes him through. He's able to get healthier, and he's able to play on Sunday against Cincinnati. They need all the help they can get.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised. I was surprised based on last week. He was doing everything, and I thought looked really good. Didn't have anything on either knee. He was running well, but I would think that he would be active this week. And, of course, you know, there's another spot on the roster now with Will Compton cut yesterday, which is really interesting.
Yeah. Did you expect somebody to get cut yesterday?
Not necessarily. You know, because you can move guys up and down. I mean, Bates is going up and down, different guys. I mean, obviously, Quesenberry came up from the practice squad. So I don't know if there's another move, too, but obviously you can activate Adoree. I think there's Glennon said there's 51 right now on the roster. So, you know, but Compton being cut, I mean, he was active on Sunday instead of David Long.
When he came in, like, because he came in. Jan Brown was out for a few plays and Compton came in, played.
Yeah.
Now he's not.
So did he play so poorly that he gets cut the next day? I don't know. I mean, he's also on special teams, which was not good.
No.
So sometimes that's part of the evaluation. But suddenly the Bussin' with the Boys podcast is
freed up a little bit.
To be found on the field.
Well, you got some time. Got some time to record some new episodes.
That's true.
Rabel was also asked yesterday about the elephant in the room, and that is the third down defense, which is just a horrifying sight and has been all season long for the Tennessee Titans. Here's what Vrabel had to say regarding the third down defense.
Yeah, Coach, after watching yesterday's game, you know, you guys, you allowed them to convert 13 out of 18 third down opportunities, and looking throughout the year, you're at the bottom of the league. What is going wrong there, and what's fresh in your mind after watching that game yesterday?
It's all got to be tied together. We got to have 11 guys, you know, executing. You know, we've been through this, you know, before. We've got to coach it, get better, and we've got to execute better. You know, we're going to have to, you know, you've got a couple choices. You're going to play man. You're going to play post safety zone. You're going to play split safety zone and pressure. So, you know, we've got to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we're coaching as well as we can, and that we're executing better.
I mean, there's two right there in one answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say, yeah, especially if you don't have to have the exact words, it's way over. Way over.
Big time, man.
So
booted it.
So I wonder if it's is it way over? Is it just way more after losses, probably?
I think so.
Probably, right?
Well,
he'll say that stuff. I mean, I think it's anything that doesn't go well, even if you're asked about it when a win, too.
Right.
But you just ask about that stuff less.
But, yeah, but if you're losing, like, more things are not going well,
right?
Probably.
By the way,
how about that for some analysis?
I think you're dead on there.
I think I am, too.
So this
morning at 6:13.
That's right. I did find the numbers, by the way, on third down. So I figured I had a coworker who gave me the website to look up.
Oh, man.
You know, they've only been doing third down defense since 1991, which is kind of interesting.
Didn't have third down defenses before?
Well,
they didn't
track it.
Oh, okay.
They didn't track it. It's like sacks, you know, I've only been tracked since 70-something. But it's kind of interesting that stat would start then.
That is weird.
They didn't track it when Vince Lombardi was kicking?
I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I will say that probably the good thing about this stat and history is that, like, I'm sure there weren't teams back then in those, like, days of 14-10 games across the league that were giving up ridiculous numbers. So, I mean, at least you feel like, in the last 30 years, you're probably going to find your worst numbers, right?
You would think.
So the worst ever is the Cleveland Browns of 1995. Right after Belichick and Saban were out of there, by the way. Not too long. 49.6%. No one has ever given up 50% in a year. Now, there are also seven teams right now at 50 or above. So that's worth keeping in mind.
Okay.
Keeping in context with the Titans' struggles. Seven teams that are 50 and above.
Anybody else at 60?
No.
Okay.
No. Carolina's at 56.3, and then everybody else is like 50. The other ones are 50.6, 50. You know, Buffalo, New Orleans, Dallas, Giants, Raiders. Okay. No one is at 61 like the Titans, But no one has ever given up, again, ever, I'm pretty sure, since the stat has been tracked, 50%.
So not good.
Can the Titans – the Titans would have to, like, really get on their horse now to get to 50. So
you would think, like, the law of averages at some point, the improvement takes place that way. But we'll just have to wait and see on that front. When we come back, there is, I believe, an underrated problem that's emerged from Sunday's game that could be a big problem for the Titans as they move forward here. We'll talk about what that is next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. During Big Night at the Museum, Modern Music Masters will hold history in their hands, playing timeless songs on some of country music's most treasured instruments. Premiering tomorrow night at 8 p.m. live on the Country Music Hall of Fame's YouTube channel, Big Night is a much-needed fundraiser for the museum and an unprecedented musical event. Subscribe at countrymusichalloffame.org/YouTube and tune in tomorrow, which is October the 28th. Some of the artists include Brad Paisley, Tim McGraw, and Miranda Lambert, so make sure you're tuned in for that. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, there is a problem that emerged from Sunday's game that I think it could be a point of concern as we move forward here, and that is special teams. Now, when you say special teams, everybody automatically just goes to the field goal kicking. And we talked about that a lot yesterday. Gostkowski's going to have to be better. He's going to have to be better from inside 50 yards. I mean, that's something that's obvious. When you're 5 of 11 from inside 50, that's a concern. And that's got to be something that either improves or you've got to find somebody else to come in and do the job as you move forward here. But special teams as a whole on Sunday was bad. I mean, they gave up a bad punt return that, if not for Brett Kern directing the guy out of the way, is probably a touchdown. Didn't field a kick properly on Khalif Raymond's end on a short kickoff by Pittsburgh. Just a really screwed up punting play where some people were asking, hey, did they try to do that on purpose and throw the ball down the field? And to me, it just looked totally discombobulated. Just a really bad day for special teams. And, you know, when you're playing in as many close games as the Titans have so far this year, mistakes in that area, even outside of the field goal kicking game, can kill you, and they did in the first half Sunday against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so, you know, is that an ongoing issue? Is that a one day thing of weirdness? You know, I don't think they've been excellent in special teams, you know, in recent years. I don't think they're excellent now. If you want to go advanced stats on this, I got stats like every segment.
You're like
for
an advanced stat guy now.
FootballOutsiders.com is a pretty cool site, and you know, DVOA, value adjusted over average. So they basically try to assess overall, like how many points do you add or take away, you know, from your kicking game. And they do other stuff too. But the Titans are 26 in the league. And if you go by percentage, minus 2.7%. But basically, like, they are overall not a plus for them this year. But we haven't seen a day like this at all. And I do think, you know, Dane Cruikshank comes out there, and, I mean, he's the guy, he's the gunner, he's there in place. But even if he doesn't make the tackle, that happens a lot, right?
Right.
You still, you're not supposed to give up a 57-yard punt return. The Khalif Raymond, that was just one individual. I mean, a lot of this is just individuals messing up. I mean, I know Stillman called for Craig Aukerman to be fired during the game on Twitter. So
I enjoy watching him on Twitter during all sporting events.
Was he more mad about that or the uniforms?
I don't know. I mean, I was pretty upset about the uniforms.
You were upset about the uniforms too.
I don't like the baby blue look.
Do not disrespect the Columbia blue.
Why?
It's awesome.
I think it is too. I think it looks great.
What's their record this year in the Columbia blue?
You know, yeah.
0-1? What's their record and everything else? Oh, 5-0.
Well, there you go. Oh. We don't need to talk about anything else. You have identified the problem.
I called this before the game. I said on Twitter, if they lose this game, 51% of the blame going on wearing those stupid uniforms. Here they are.
All right.
Worst first half of all year since Ryan Tannehill took over.
So
worst first half.
Why were they able to play so well in the second half in the same uniforms?
Well, they're just so good they overcame the uniform, but didn't overcome it enough.
Right. I hope they wear it every game. The navy's okay. I think the blue, the two-tone blue.
Yes.
Looks good, man.
The navy blue jerseys with the Columbia blue bottoms.
I think it looks like a funhouse exhibit.
Yeah, and
they've worn that combo a lot. But
I last
year,
jersey the other way around. I like what they did Sunday.
Sure. For the Chiefs game, last year at home, they wore the Columbia Blues. Clearly, they should have worn the Columbia Blues in the AFC Championship.
Well, they're on the road.
I mean, do we have to go look up stats of what they do in each uniform?
Maybe.
We may have to.
Look, the Predators, back in the day, they weren't very good. But they wore this third jersey. It was this gold mustard jersey. If you've been around a long time here in the city, you remember it. I mean, it's most people hate them. I love them. But their winning percentage was like, it was like 80% in those things. And they were not.
It was
the
crazy.
They were not the same team as they are today. Now they were later on when Paul Carrillo's here. But
and didn't the players hate them?
Yeah, they were
because
heavier.
They were like, yeah,
yeah,
because they were like what? Just because
they were heavier.
Looked. Oh, they were heavier.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
There's more like fabric.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, could skate as fast.
So they got slowed down, but they won. Maybe they just played a heavier game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? Look, uniforms matter. I don't know how we got off on that, but.
Yeah. So uniforms, special teams, there's so many different things with this team you can look at. But, yeah, I mean, I think overall they're fine. You know, they're okay. Their coverage has been fine. Brett Kern's fantastic. I mean, if you're going to assess the entire kicking game, you've got just an absolute – stud, one of the best in the business doing it there. And you know, your biggest concern is the guy who gets points for you or doesn't when he tries to kick the oblong ball through the goalposts.
And Mike Vrabel yesterday was asked about special teams and the struggles on Sunday. Here's what he had to say.
That wasn't anywhere near where we could play on special teams. I thought that coming off the Bills and even some positive plays that we had against the Texans, that wasn't anywhere near where we need to be from a special teams unit. So it has to be better. It has to improve. That's something that, you know, we got to kick the ball better. We got to get more hang time. We have to catch all those, you know, kickoffs. We got to cover punts better. You know, you look at the keys, you know, McLeod had been doing well, and we gave him, you know, we let him flip the field. You know, they didn't have any turnovers, but those are two really turnover opportunities that they created: long punt return, and then the punt, and then basically gave them a short field for a turn, that a turnover room. So that has to improve. You know, we have to be better in the special teams. We got to be better coaching it, and we got to be better executing.
See, I think what he's trying to do is change up on us a little bit. So he's going execute over play.
What's the difference?
Well, I think maybe he's like. Maybe he's like, okay, they're talking about how I say coaching and playing. Maybe I'm going to throw this curveball at him.
Oh, maybe he was
listening
yesterday.
Oh, there's no difference.
And
that's my guess.
He heard me toss out the over-under.
That's my
so
guess.
So he said, I'll show Robbie.
That's right. He's like, I'm going to hit the under by switching to execute.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Because I do feel like he's saying execute over play now.
Okay.
Let's
changing
ask
it up a
ask him about that next time
yeah,
he
ask
talks.
About
not
that,
today.
Ask him about that tomorrow. See how that goes.
There's no Vrabel today. There are assistants today.
I do want to point something out very quickly that we didn't get time to talk about yesterday. A.J. Brown, after the game on Sunday, had some interesting comments after the loss. I want to play those for you. Here's what A.J. Brown had to say.
So I think moving forward, I think this loss kind of helped us, to be honest. You know, when you're winning, you know, sometimes, you know, you sweep a lot of stuff under the rug. A lot of stuff go unnoticed because you're winning. But I think we came out, we played better in the second half. We just got to play better like the whole game, be more consistent. So
what do you make of the idea, Joe, that maybe losing this game helps the Titans in the long run? We heard this, and I saw this even when the Packers got just shelled by Tampa Bay last week. Aaron Rodgers basically came out and said, yeah, sometimes you just need to get kicked in the butt, and then you respond better after that. Do you think maybe this is a good thing for the Titans in the long run?
No, because it's different because the Titans could easily have a much worse record right now with the same issue that we saw again Sunday. So winning, losing, it's the same problem. So I don't really buy that. I understand the sentiment. It's a natural kind of cliche sentiment.
Yep.
And this is where Vrabel's response yesterday was, you know, we coach the action, not the result. You know, basically it's not, you know, because the implication there is we've gotten complacent because we win every week. And I don't think that's the case at all. I just think that they haven't been able to figure out how to do it.
Agreed. And you know, the third down defense, we talked about it a lot yesterday. It's been a problem. How do you go about fixing that if you're this coaching staff? We'll ask our man Floyd Reese that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, talking Titans, and it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in former Titans general manager and co-host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, sponsored by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. Floyd, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
You guys got the highly paid producer this morning.
Yeah,
huh?
We do. We're bringing out the big guns. The big guns are here.
Where did they go?
Floyd, look, it's like the Titans fans have gotten an early Halloween gift, a haunted house, whatever you want to call it, on the third down defense. It's been atrocious. They're giving up third down conversions at a 60% clip, which right now is far and away an NFL record, at least back to 1991. What are you seeing on third down defensively right now for the Titans, and how in the world do you go about fixing it if you're this coaching staff?
You know, I think I'm seeing the same thing, actually, that I've seen the last few weeks, you know, which is they're caught in a lurch. You know, they can't get enough pass rush, and they don't have the speed on the corner to be able to cover these guys. And what's happening is they get frustrated and you know, we'll call a blitz or do something to try to change the tempo. And then the receiver, like last week, catches a little 9-yard hook and virtually walks into the end zone with it. You know, then you're saying to yourself, wow, I wish I hadn't a blitz. Maybe it would have taken them another play or two. And maybe we get a tip ball. Maybe we get a fumble. Maybe we get a penalty, something that helps us. But you get so frustrated at the fact that you can't stop them that, you know, you go to desperate measures, and unfortunately for us, too often it's cost us points.
You know, that brings up stats, Floyd, to me. Like, do you value that particular stat? What stats do you value the most when you're evaluating a defense? I think obviously points, right?
But going away points.
But what about like third down reds? Like, what stats when you're trying to assess a defense do you find more important?
Well, points obviously are the big one. You know, time of possession, third down, all of those kinds of things affect the defense from the standpoint that, you know, they're on the field. They're, you know, it's like the first drive of last week. You know, it was like 17 plays or something. You know, they just little 5, 6, 7 yards at a time, just keep it moving, keep it going. Well, that whole time the defense is out there trying to stop them and really not all that effective at it, as we've seen. And by the time they're finished with that series, you know, they're just about done for the half. Yeah, they're pooped. And if you go out like we did, you go out there and you go 3 and out, and then they turn right around, they're back on the field again. And so the pass rush you're hoping to get is tired, especially I think if you look at the number of outside linebackers we've kept on the roster the last little bit, and we've only got, you know, we had 3, I think, this week, and then Clowney goes down for a while. Now you're playing with 2 guys. You know, they're playing every snap, and it's like the snowball. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And until, you know, we get some speed on the field, and I keep using Adoree only because he's a fast guy, and one guy is not going to change the total outlook. I'm not saying that at all. But what it does as a defensive play caller is it gives you options. You know, your confidence in being able to run 5 or 6 guys at the quarterback and play man for man, you feel much better about, because you know you have speed. Doesn't mean they won't get beat, but they're not just going to line up and run past your guy. And that's kind of where we are now. You know, we're scared to death. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, our young rookie corner's going to be out for a while. So there goes more speed. You know, so now who goes on the field? We don't know, but whoever goes on the field is not a top flight corner. And so it's just a little bit more of the same.
Former Titans general manager and co-host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, on the line with us, sponsored by Sealmaster. Obviously, Floyd, a big loss in Taylor Lewan. What did you make of the offensive line's performance against Pittsburgh without Taylor in there?
You know, I think it was a good combination of the coaches doing what they had to do. And that's, you know, they had to chip. They had to do some things to help the tackles. But all in all, I think especially in the latter part of the game, they really did a pretty good job. You know, I mean, Tannehill wasn't getting crushed. And I think because of that, you know, you look at it and gain confidence, as they will. You know, if you can line up and play against Pittsburgh's rush guys, then you can probably play against most rush guys. And maybe, you know, you don't need as much help. You don't need as much tight end on my side, chipping, doing those kinds of things, because we saw, you know, the production, particularly with the tight ends, this week was way, way down compared to where, you know, where it has been. And part of the reason is because they're in there, you know, helping with the protection. Gets them out real, real slow. By that time, the ball's probably already gone.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, because I agree, it seemed like Sombrello did a good job. They did help him for sure. I mean, I think they helped both of them at times. That's a heck of a front to deal with. But you just hit it there, Floyd. You've got to take resources away from something if you're going to devote them somewhere else. And then, you know, I guess just realistically, you're probably looking at, you know, another drive or two a game that either a holding or a sack that maybe you don't have if you have Terrell Lewan on the field. So what do you think the overall impact moving forward is? Do you think this offense can maintain or be close to the production it's had this year without Lewan?
You know, you can't. You really can't replace an all-pro left tackle. We know that. That being said, can we get Sombrio in there and him play well enough to where we can, you know, go ahead and at least operate as an offense? Yeah. You know, are you going to be as good as you were before? I think we'd have to stretch a little bit to say, yeah, we probably will be.
Floyd, obviously a big game on Sunday from A.J. Brown, and I want to get your thoughts on this because your eye for talent is obviously much higher than mine. When you see A.J. Brown where he is now and what you think he could be as he continues to move forward here, what does that look like to you? Like, what do you think his potential is once he fully realizes it?
You know, I mean, I would have to think he's, you know, a legitimate guy. I mean, I think he's approaching being – I mean, he's obviously our number one guy, but, you know, when you talk about the league, I think you can look at him and say, okay, he's approaching there. You know, he's closing in on it. You know, supremely talented guy, as we know, outstanding running with the ball. You know, when somebody's chasing him, he's faster than you think he is. And so all of that is good. But, I mean, he's played big in some big games. And let's face it, when you're playing Pittsburgh, your stars have to come out. You know, the guys that are good players have to show because their good players are going to show. And I think AJ was one of those guys that did indeed show. You know, we kept saying, okay, we know they're going to be close. We know coverage is going to be tight. We know they're going to be knocking down a lot of balls and they're going to be playing rat coverage where they've got a safety in there, you know, looking for the inside routes, all those kinds of things. But if you could just break a tackle, then you've got a chance to maybe go the distance. And that's what he did. He didn't break a tackle, but, you know, he got himself open. They got the ball to him. He had a little bit of space. Turned on the Jets and outran their defense.
And then after the game, you know, A.J. Brown, we just actually played his comment earlier, Floyd, but he talked about maybe the benefit of a loss, you know, that maybe this will be good for the Titans, you know, to, I guess, I don't know, wake them up or something like that. Do you buy that at all?
Maybe a little bit. I think what it forces you to do is to go back and really evaluate. You know, maybe you evaluate where you were, where you are, where you need to be a little bit more. And subconsciously, you probably overlook a thing or two along the way if you're 5-0, you know, simply because you say, well, that's not exactly where I'm, but we're 5-0, so it's okay. So maybe it forces you to go back and look at that and say, okay, I didn't like it last week. You know, I didn't like it the week before. I don't like it now. Let's get it fixed. And, you know, maybe there's a little bit of that. You know, my gut feeling is you know, this staff, I think, is and with Mike at the helm is pretty good at, you know, if you see a problem, get it fixed now. We don't want to sit on this problem for 4 weeks, let it get out of control, then all of a sudden say, oh, we got to fix that because it's probably too late then.
Floyd, last thing for you here. You mentioned earlier, you know, not only just on third down, but the defense as a whole, the pass rush isn't getting there. And right now the speed in the secondary just isn't where it needs to be. From a coaching perspective, how do you go about addressing that? How frustrating is that to try to put together some plans that can work to try to help that and mitigate those circumstances as best you can?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real problem simply because the things that you know you need to do, you probably can't do. You know, you say, okay, my pass rush isn't getting there. How do I help it? Well, I got to bring an extra guy or an extra two guys. Well, you can do that, but now you're playing man for man. And, you know, if you're down another corner and you've got a guy in there that is not a speed guy, now how are you going to cover, you know, like this week, Cincinnati's got some receivers now. You know, they've got legitimate receivers, guys that are big and can run. And can you cover those guys? So what happens, I think, is it draws you back and you turn into, you know, the old zone coaches. It was always be patient, let them make a mistake. You know, let them throw a tip ball, let them get a holding penalty, let them do something along the way to give us a chance to get our breaks. And the truth is, in the first half of the game last week, as poorly as we played on defense, we had two fumbles out, we didn't get either one, and I think there were three tipped balls that we didn't get. You know, well, the old zone coach would say, okay, if we could have gotten one or two of those, it would have completely changed the game. Well, when we got in the second half, we started getting those. You know, the tipped passes we came up with and consequently looked better on defense solely because of the turnovers, not because we were playing third down better, not because we were getting a better rush, not because we were playing coverage better, but those tipped balls and you being able to come up with the turnover are really, really big when you use that kind of a philosophy.
That's a great point. Former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Sealmaster. Floyd, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Have a great day, guys.
Absolutely. That's a great point. I mean, I think when he's bringing that up there, it wasn't anything really dramatically different they did in the second half. They just started capitalizing on some of those tip balls and turnovers. And then all of a sudden the numbers look a little bit better.
Yeah. Oh, no question. You know, the last one, that was great coverage by Jayon Brown.
It was.
That was a great all-around play. But, yeah, it's hard to count on the, you know, the tip at the line and catch them. But if you get those, that often has a lot to do with the outcome of football games.
When we come back, what sort of damage did Ryan Tannehill's MVP case from a league perspective take on Sunday? We'll debate that on the other side. Make sure you're with us on Saturday, November 14th, to support Stars by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K run walk powered by Enterprise Rental Car. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and it's on the certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. That's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th for the Nashville Striders Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars and powered by Enterprise Rental Car. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Steelers clinging to a three-point lead. Browns put up monster numbers. Tannehill will chuck it away. There was nobody in that area, and a flag is thrown.
Intentional grounding. Offense number 17. The ball will be placed at the spot of the foul. It's a loss of down, and it's second down.
We let them get off and running early in the game. We weren't moving the ball efficiently. We got ourselves in long yardage situations. They're doing a good job of being disruptive. But really, we had some opportunities there and just didn't execute well enough. So, you know, like I said, got to give them credit for what they did early in the game. But we expect to come out and play better earlier in the game, that we were not in that situation.
That was Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill after the game Sunday, a 27-24 loss for the Tennessee Titans. And, Joe, we spent a lot of time talking last week about maybe Ryan Tannehill emerging as an MVP candidate in the NFL. The Titans were 5-0. He's playing extremely well on the season. Didn't play quite as well, particularly in the first half on Sunday against Pittsburgh, but helps lead the comeback in the game, hits the pass to A.J. Brown. They move the ball down the field, have a chance to tie the game on a field goal, and we know how the story ends. They don't. They fall to 5-1 on the year. As you evaluate Tannehill's performance on Sunday, did that change his conversation or his stock in the MVP race at all in your mind?
Sure. I mean, if you're going to go week by week with this thing and take a winding journey on the MVP race, it knocks him down. I mean, now if he is a yard short or a little bit lower on that pass to Davis, then he's
maybe
still
leading.
Maybe. But, I mean, it was always going to be, one, Titans with a elite record, which has to continue. They got to win. And then, his numbers are not going to be as gaudy as some of these guys. So he's got to have those big moments. He's got to have those. And he's had some for sure. So if you go by Vegas odds right now, someone who is rising into this discussion, of course, is the guy that some Titans fans wanted to be the quarterback here instead of him, Mr. Brady.
Looks pretty good.
One of the greatest of all time. Tom Brady. But the Vegas odds right now, at least for one play sport, I got Sports Betting Dime here. He's got Russell, Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, Jackson in that order in terms of their odds at this point. So, Tannehill, Henry, those guys they'd have to just do, I think for Tannehill especially, record for Henry. Record, but also 2,000 plus, if those guys are going to be in there. But, yeah, if you're going week by week on this thing, the stock absolutely drops with a loss.
I thought it dropped. I don't think it changes it too much. I mean, look, Russell Wilson's stock probably dropped a little bit too. I mean, threw two pretty bad interceptions in that game against Arizona. So
yeah, it can't help.
You're helped out there. I mean, Rodgers had an awful week against Tampa Bay a week ago. You're not going to go – most likely, 16 games, and just blow people out of the water in this league every week. It's just not going to happen. I expect this week Tannehill's going to rebound. That offense is going to rebound. Now, certainly that helps going up against Cincinnati rather than Pittsburgh. The defense is not even comparable to what they saw this past week. So that certainly plays in your favor if you're the Titans and if you're Ryan Tannehill. I don't think it changes it a whole lot. When you're taking the bigger picture in mind, this is going to happen, I think, to every MVP candidate. I mean, even Mahomes one time this year and looked all that great. So it's going to happen, but I do agree with you. It's going to take for Ryan Tannehill to win the award. Titans are probably going to have to be 14-2, the number one seed in the AFC, and Derrick Henry can't have too gaudy of numbers either. Otherwise, he's probably going to get it. So
yeah.
I think there's kind of a perfect storm it's going to have to follow for Tannehill to get it anyway. But I don't think Sunday's performance changes it too much.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I don't know if he'd get it, but they could take away from each other. So Tannehill's bottom line record, his numbers, but also, yeah, it might help him if Derrick Henry's more like 1,200 rather than like 1,700,
right.
Because there's still the perception, and there's some truth to the perception that Henry helps Tannehill. I think they help each other, but That can certainly hurt a guy. I mean, it's funny though, because there are quarterbacks who have won MVP with ridiculous weapons around them, and that hasn't detracted from them. I think it's just that Tannehill, because of what people thought of him before, they can't wrap their minds around him being that good now.
Well, even yesterday, I mean, we played some audio from Keyshawn Johnson of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and he's talking about how, the Titans, they can't get in a situation where they have to play from behind and Tannehill has to throw because they don't do that well. And you look at the schedule this year and you're like, all right, well, he's led four game-winning drives already and just about led another one the other day against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, you can't watch every team.
I guess not.
And a lot of people don't watch this one. So, although they were the Steelers-Titans game was like 99% of the country, by the way.
Yeah, it was a lot.
So, which, of course, that also means that for about 40 minutes of football, people saw a team like this is supposed to be your great team.
Yeah.
Then they
won a great first half.
They rebounded from that. But Yeah, it's that perception. Run the ball, play defense. And they run the ball. They try to play defense. But, yeah, they can come back on teams.
Had gone well so far. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brad in Clarksville text in, do you guys think J-Rob should possibly think about calling up Philadelphia, maybe make a deal for Darius Slay in draft picks? The Titans have got to do something to help this defense at the cornerback position.
Yeah, see, I'm just I'm not saying the cornerback play has been good, and I understand you watch Ty Smith out there get burned, and then they put Jonathan Joseph back in, and there's issues, but no, that's not even close to the top of my list of things they need. They have Adoree Jackson. They're going to get him back. At some point, they'll have pretty good corners. You know, I mean, there aren't many great corners out there. Darius Slay's good. He's a good player. No, they need to rush the passer. I mean, if you're going to trade for something, and I don't think there's a great pass rushing option out there. I guess the Cowboys are putting Everson Griffin on the market. That was reported yesterday.
Yep.
But I still think offensive tackle is really important, especially if Isaiah Wilson's not going to get ready. That's how I would prioritize those two things, understanding that pass rusher in this league is a very valued and tough to find commodity. But they don't need to trade for a corner.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, good morning, guys. I'm going to say this and then move on to Cincinnati. It's a nice. I went to Cincinnati like Belichick. That was good.
Way to go, Ron. On to Cincinnati.
Way to go, Ron. That was nice. Ben is just like Phillip Rivers. He's old. He barely threw the ball down the field. And when he did, there was no power behind it, just like Rivers, but a little bit better. I believe Ben and that offense will be exposed with the Ravens because I think a good defense and a blitz will show you how good and healthy he really is. But at the same time, they were good enough to beat the Titans.
Yeah. No, I think he's got – that's a good point and a good comparison to Rivers there. It is similar. You just – like – You prove to me that you can put it over my head right now. And I will say that, you know, I haven't seen Phillip Rivers do the 20-yard flip, the, you know, shortstop, you know, turning the double play flip that Roethlisberger did.
No. But
yeah, I it will be interesting to see a salty defense like the Ravens against that offense. Now, but hey, Roethlisberger makes quick decisions, and he does have a variety of good pass catchers out there too, and Connor's a good player, so I think it should be a good matchup. But yeah, that's a pretty good comparison. You know, older guys who are looking like it, and now Tom Brady all of a sudden doesn't look like it.
Looks pretty good.
I mean, that dime he threw to
oh my gosh,
yeah,
is it Miller?
Yeah, it's a Miller
in the corner of the end zone.
Now here you go, the Roethlisberger flip, just as I say it, appears on the screen. That was incredible.
You have it. Unbelievable timing. It's very impressive what you're able to do.
It's almost weird.
Yes. When we come back, so we've talked about the Titans' issues on defense. How does the coaching staff go about fixing these issues? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You're on to Cincinnati.